Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Esther. We're gonna read bits and pieces, but Esther chapter 4. And we're going to talk about fasting a bit still in relation to this. Esther chapter 4. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. And he went as far as the king's gate, and no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in each and every province where the command and decree of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay on sackcloth and ashes. Then Esther's maidens and her eunuchs came and told her, and the queen writhed in great anguish, and she sent garments to clothe Mordecai, that he might remove his sackcloth from him, but he did not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hatat, the king's eunuchs, whom the king had appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. So Hatach went to Mordecai to the city square in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave it, well, let's go down. Let's go to verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this." Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maidens will also fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him. And then let's go to chapter 5. Now it came about on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. It happened that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. And the king extended to Esther the golden scepter which was in her hand. So Esther came near and touched the top of the scepter. And then the king said to her, "What is troubling you, Queen Esther? And what is your request? Even to half the kingdom it shall be given to you." And then let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. During that night, the king could not sleep. So he gave an order to bring the book of records, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written what Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs who were doorkeepers, that they had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" The king's servants who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." Sorry. Amen. So we're reading about Queen Esther here. It's a pretty great story. Incidentally, this is one of the great stories for the Jewish people. You know, they love this book, which is interestingly because actually in this book, there's no mention of God at all, you know, which is kind of interesting. You know, that seems very not Hebrew for that, but there's no mention of God or him or his name, none of those things, right? It's just, you know, and the book of Esther, maybe why the Jewish people like it so much, is talking about the total annihilation of their enemies, right? And so, and then maybe you can see why they enjoy it so much. But it's this book, and if you're familiar with the Jewish calendar, there's what they call the Feast of Purim, you know, and this actually stems from these episodes here in the book of Esther, which is one of their most lively feasts that they celebrate. And, you know, because the king had a feast and Mordecai, you know, all those things, so they celebrate that. But the interesting thing here is I want to make a connection between fasting and God's favor. You know, fasting and some things being done that, like, really just come out of nowhere, right? So the first instance, you know, Haman, for some reason, this guy hated the Jews. Particularly, he hated Mordecai. You know, I don't know why, but he just really, really despised him. And so he just wanted to basically wipe out Mordecai by wipe out all the Jewish people. You know, there seemed to have been, you know, this kind of God's faithfulness over the people that even though they're in exile, you know, and most likely it says that, Esther, during this period was actually during the reign of King Xerxes, you know, and so, even though they were in exile and they're living in ghettos, you know, they were, you know, living on the outskirts but there seemed to have been favor from the Lord upon these people, even in exile, even in these ghettos, so much so that, you know, the number two man in the kingdom could actually be jealous of Mordecai, you know, and be jealous of the people. You know, that, I mean, there's something quite interesting there that I don't really have too much time to get into. And so he you know, makes a decree. The king makes a decree kind of unknowingly, you know, and then all to kill the Jews and whatnot, you know, kind of systematically. This is, you know, very much pre-Holocaust, you know, kind of ideology. And you see that Hitler, you know, he didn't think of it anywhere, right? This is demonic from the roots all the way going back here, you know, even before Esther, but we see that happening. And then later, you know, the Nazis end up taking this call and this charge to eliminate the Jews. And so we have this picture, and you know, the queen's like, okay, why are my people wailing? Why is all this sadness? And Mordecai says something really interesting, and this has nothing to do with fasting, but just for you to see. In verse 14, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. Isn't that a very interesting theological statement, right? He's saying that, yeah, you know, you've been silent. In fact, you know, could God have given you royalty for such a time as this? A very famous passage. You know, and he says, well, you know, the Lord is going to deliver the Jews somehow. He wants to use you, but he will bypass you because he's sovereign. You know, it's like this picture of the greatness. God's will be done. God wants to do his will through you. You know, but if you don't obey, God will use someone else, you know, but the result is you will die and your family will perish, you know, and this is a really interesting, you know, I mean, this, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, this really puts together this whole idea of the sovereignty of God about choice and all these things, right? You know, because one part, it's not dependent on you. I mean, that's kind of a relief, isn't it? You know, it's not dependent on you, but God wants to use you. And God is God, and he's sovereign, so his will be accomplished on this earth. You know, and this gets into the whole idea, you know, that's why we do Experiencing God, of Blackaby, right? And he says, you know, it's not what is God's will for your life, it's what's God's will. And you join him in his will, right? So his will is above and beyond. The will of God is going to be done. It's sovereign. But at the same line, he wants partnership with you. And so he wants you to do it and join him in that. If you don't, he'll find somebody else. You know, if grace is unwilling to obey the Lord, you know, the mantle is going to go to Nelly. You know, and if Nelly's not going to do his will, the mantle will go to David. You know, but he chose you. He put you in the place of position. He put you in the place of authority. He put you in the place where you can act out that will. But if you disobey, because that happens all the time, right? Then that favor, that anointing will go to somebody else. And, you know, in this context, he says you'll die. I mean, in our context, you won't necessarily die, right? But you'll have missed out, you know, on God's anointing and his favor over your life. And so she calls out, right? And so, I mean, this is, you know, we should actually come back to this and spend a little more time, you know, dissecting, you know, this verse. It's amazing. And so Esther says to Mordecai, okay, Mordecai, you go tell the peoples, right? Even myself, don't eat 3 days, 3 nights. Don't eat, don't drink, don't do anything. And we're just going to seek God's face. You know, she sanctified, she called together a fast for the people. And look what happened after this fast. They fast for 3 days, Now, we don't really quite understand in this context, right? Because, you know, we don't really deal with royalty or whatnot, you know, but for in this age and time, you know, for someone to interrupt the king, you know, or even want to have a meeting with the king and, you know, not summoned to do that, especially, you know, I can't even say his name, King A, right? You know, he had a lot of wives, you know, and so for one of them to come in, you know, they don't come, he summons them. You know, this could be her life is on the line, you know, but what she does, she comes, you know, and in the bottom there is verse 2. Happened when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. Where do you think that favor came from? It came from the Lord. You know, it came from God. You know, God began to turn in King A's heart in such a way that he accepted the queen. You know, and talk about favor, right? I mean, you know, and the response is, oh, Queen Esther, come on in. What do you want? I'll give you half my kingdom. You know what I mean? It's not like he's being nice to her. I mean, he's showing incredible favor to her, right? And so, and then there's one side. So that's with Esther, right? Because remember, there's two parts here. There's a queen, you know, and there's Mordecai and the people. And so, and then it happens that, you know, Esther has this talk. And then in chapter 6, this is the part that actually blows me away, you know, more than anything else. And then in chapter 6, the king could not sleep. Very interesting, isn't it? The king can't sleep, and so he calls the guys to come and read to him the Chronicles. And they happen to be reading about a plot that happened years and years and years ago, you know, about these two eunuchs that actually try to assassinate the king, you know, and then Mordecai, you know, just this common dude, you know, Jewish guy that basically thwarted this whole plot, you know, and the king is reminded by the Lord of what this man did. I mean, pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, just, I mean, yeah, okay, coincidence. I don't think so. You know, after the fast, after the seeking, after, you know, meeting with the queen, all of a sudden, the king just can't sleep. He wakes up, and then sure enough, they happen to be, I mean, can you imagine the scrolls of this Persian empire, how vast it is? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, King Xerxes, I mean, if you ever see that movie 300, right? I mean, that's King Xerxes, right? You know, and you know, along that whole line, you know, of Darius and all these guys. And here they are. The king just happens to be reading just this one little part of this plot that they had forgotten long ago. And the Lord reminds them of this. This is such incredible favor that comes. You know, and as I look, you know, what did the people of God do to deserve such favor? What did they do? You know, I mean, they existed, they did the same. What was there any difference in how they acted, you know, from this time? Well, the only thing we could see is they prayed and fasted for 3 days. They didn't take any water, they didn't take any food, right? Fasting. Yeah, it's just, you know, I told you, you know, I said it on Sunday, it's the spiritual dynamite, you know, that we've, you know, left behind somewhere. And things, and so they sought God's face, they fasted just for 3 days, you know, and it changed a nation, right? I mean, it really changed a nation, you know, and the great thing is, look at chapter 8. This is the fruit of the fast. Basically, the king, I mean, Mordecai gets promoted, but look at verse 11. The king actually gives them the right to exist and to fight. And in verse 11 of chapter 8, it says, in them the king granted the Jews who were in each and every city the right to assemble and to defend their lives, to destroy, to kill, to annihilate the entire army of any people or province which might attack them, including children and women, and to plunder their spoil. Wow. You know, he's basically giving them a license to exist. Right, you know, and you know, the line goes forward, and sure enough, who comes out of this is Jesus, you know, out of this family line. I mean, absolutely amazing, isn't it? You know, I mean, they got so much more than what they asked for. They were just a small minority, you know, people enslaved, you know, and they enter into a season of that. The enemy, you know, had a plan for evil. God turned to good, right? And it flips totally the other way. And now they're not a marginalized people. There are people that could take up arms. You know, there are people that could fight, defend themselves. There are people that could war, right? And not only can they war, they can grab the plunder, right? You know, or they can plunder the people of the spoils of the war. So they can keep, they can continue to accumulate and grow their army and whatnot. You have to understand, in this kind of context, this is unheard of, you know, because they're slaves. You know, they can't fight. You know, they're to put down their weapons, you know, when they come into captivity. But he basically raises up the army of Israel through this. This is just the favor of God. I mean, just absolutely amazing, you know. And so the question that we pose this morning, you know, do you need some favor in your life? I mean, do you need some just outrageous, you know, favor from the Lord? I know I do. You know, I mean, I imagine all of us wouldn't mind a little bit of favor in our lives. You know, I'm not saying that it's going to happen as you pray and fast, but there seems to be this connection there, right? So let's close our eyes today, as we will embark on a season of fasting. Let's consecrate ourselves, let's dedicate ourselves, let's seek God's face. You know, we're entering as a church together. Man, I tell you, we need some favor as a church, especially when we're talking about our building situation. You know, we need favor in our finances. A lot of our brothers and sisters, man, they need favor in the workplace. You know, some of our members of our community need to see something flipped around completely, where it seems like they're on the road to destruction. They need to be flipped around, where they become the destroyer. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, think about, you know, people in our church. Wouldn't that be great that, you know, people like are depressed and, you know what I mean, and just going through such difficult times? Wouldn't that be amazing that as we enter into a season of fasting, that God would totally flip that around and they'd be the most joyful people? You know, where the enemy has been robbing from them, they'd be, start robbing from the enemy. Wouldn't that be just incredible? Well, it happened in Ezra's time by consecrating a fast. And so let's, as Jisun leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate and focus on, as we consecrate a fast, as, you know, we're entering in, you know, in a few weeks, it's about that our hearts should be in the right place, and just the favor of God would just flow through our lives and the life in our community.
Purify my heart. from my sin.
Let's pray that today for ourselves. Let's pray that we always be ready to do God's will. You know, He wants to use us. See, the partnership is laid out for us. His will be done. It may be delayed, but it will be done. But if we don't enter in with Him, not only do we miss out on God, but the blessing, the favor, all those wonderful things that God gives us in partnership, anointing, we will not experience. Let's pray that individually. Let's pray that as a church. There will be people that always just say yes, Lord, to Him. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask the Lord to continue to touch people that are in need and going through difficult times. There's a few people in our church that I can't really share what's going on, but they're going through a very difficult time. So let's just lift them up to the Lord. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them. There's members of our community whose parents are sick. You know, a few that are that are dealing with cancer and other types of illnesses. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them. You know, we pray for John this past week as he goes to Korea, and pray for Ayoung and the kids, you know, as they have to say goodbye to their dad. Let's pray for comfort and just real grace over them during this time. You know, and others that you know of that are going through a time of difficulty, you know, let's just pray for God's hand upon them. You know, and that the real grace would just cover them. Let's lift up. our missions focus. Let's pray for the Philippines. Let's ask God to continue to touch the Sorok Uni Foundation and the leper colonies, the Hansenites that are there. Pray, you know, the clinic that we opened up, that we paid for, is open now, you know, out in the village area. And so let's continue to pray that many people would be ministered to and touched and healed in that clinic. It's called Sorok Solomon Clinic. And let's just pray for God's hand upon them. Pray for Jihei's dad, you know, Elder Jang, that he would continue in his ministry, and that God would just open opportunities for us to continue to minister in that country. Let's just lift up the Philippines. Let's continue to press in for our building, our search, and our fund, and pray that God would just really give us a lot of favor, you know, especially lift up the vine and their move, and pray that God would open a door for us to take over that space. And let's just ask God to really do something. You know, this is beyond our control now, right? A lot of decisions being made on not necessarily our part, but other people's parts. And so let's just really pray for God's favor in this situation before the Lord. Lord, we thank you for just divine partnership, God. We thank you, Lord, that your heart, God, is always to want to use us, Lord. Help us to be people that are obedient, God. Help us to be people, Father God, that want to serve you, Lord, and want to give our lives for you, Father. God, and let the anointing, the favor, God, your goodness accompany, God, the obedience. We bless you, God. Watch over us as a church, God. Watch over us individually. Bless us as we go to our workplaces, God, as we go to our families, our homes, God, during this season. And help us to bring joy, God, wherever we go, Father. We thank you so much, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today. Just as information, we're not going to meet on Friday morning, okay? It's Christmas Eve, so we're going to take that day off at the office. So just FYI, okay? All right, bless you guys.